Hey, and thanks for listening. This is Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Let's get started. This is episode 23 of True Voice Media Conversations. This is our podcast, and today I have a very special guest. Here with me today, the smooth sounds of Ellie Deutsch. Ellie, tell the people about yourself.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Hello, all the True Voice Media fans. As Jeff mentioned, I'm Ellie Deutsch, at Ellie Deutsch on Twitter, and I'm here to talk to you about my favorite thing in the world, social media, speaking, and of course, Garrett Popcorn, which is my employer.
I hear you're also a superstar kickball player. Is this true?
You betcha. Yeah, in 2013, in November, I had the privilege of playing in the kickball world championship for Team Chicago, and I ended up winning. So I am a kickball world champion, and in fact, a reigning champion, as I just found out that they're not hosting the tournament anymore. So I will be forever and always the one and only world champion of kickball.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You can take that with you for the rest of your entire life.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So I have to say it to you on air because I said it to you before we started recording, but I miss your face. It is really good to see it. And for those of you that can't see this because it is an audio-only podcast, Ellie has one of the most – the best way to say it is an infectious smile. And I love the fact that we are on video and chatting because I'm going to be smiling through this whole episode because of you. So tell us about – where you just were, because I'm so jealous and I want you to make me more jealous by telling me in full detail what the hell you were doing in Sweden.
Of course. Well, you know, I've had the fortunate turn of events where I've gotten to speak all over the world about social media, marketing, strategy, communications, overall digital, the digital landscape. So I was in Sweden at the Bring Dialogue Conference. Bring is actually a logistics and transportation company based out of Norway. And for the last 17 years, they've been hosting a conference in Sweden, in Stromstad, called Bring Dialogue, or in Scandinavian, Swedish or Norwegian, it's called Dialogue Konferensen, and I butchered that because I don't speak any of those languages, but it was an amazing event, 3 days, full experience out on the fisherman town of Stromstad, and I got to meet and learn from a lot of different social media and marketing professionals all over the world, as well as teach a four-hour workshop on how to engage and build your social content on individual channels like Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and LinkedIn.
That's pretty badass. Okay, quick non sequitur question, and then I want to ask you about that workshop. The first is, did you happen to meet any chefs while you were in Sweden? Perhaps a Swedish chef?
I unfortunately did not.
I wanted to know if the rumors were true that he talks like murp, 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 murp.
But there was really, really good food and cooking, and I was amazed by the kind of natural display of what they had to serve up, because it was delicious. It was fresh right out of the ocean or off the farm. And they really, in the Nordics, have their own sustainable economy there. So everything is pretty much from that area, and they don't really import or export a lot of other needs.
That's pretty
so
awesome.
It was delicious. Yeah.
The pictures were slamming. If you get a chance, those listening, you got to drop by Ellie's Instagram account, because the pics she was dropping from Sweden were like totally – they're just breathtaking and awesome. So nice work, photo.
Thanks. Well, I'll give it up to the actual landscape of Sweden, because if anybody has a chance to go there, I mean, even in Norway as well, I flew into Oslo and then drove through the countryside. It's absolutely breathtaking. And I hope to return there next year for the conference, or maybe one day later down the line.
Well, I think you have to figure out a way to get me there to reunite me with my long lost brother.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I met Nico Hendricks of Sony UK, and he, I swear to you, looks like Jeff's doppelganger. Same kind of mannerisms, same stature, same even expressions. I was sitting there next to him at the conference, as I've done with Jeff before, and thinking, oh, man, this guy, like, they're exactly the same. And He didn't see it as much, but when I told Jeff and posted some pictures of us, he was like, oh my God, that's my doppelganger, yeah. My long lost brother.
So to summarize, you're saying that he was incredibly handsome, charming, brilliant, and really just a wonderful person to be around. I get it. So,
absolutely.
So we won't even, I won't wait for any confirmation from you on that, but we will, tell me about your workshop. Were we, so for 4 hours, you talked about like content specific strategies for different social networks.
Yeah, so I was sharing my insights and my knowledge and expertise on specifically the social media landscape. What is social media by definition? I had everybody share their own definitions, which I think is always very interesting because it means something else to each person. You know, why it's important, how they build their own specific company social media strategy, objectives, goals, and then building the content and the programming for not only their marketing initiatives, but all individually their social media channels. So we focus on Facebook, which is apparently one of the largest known social media networks and used networks in Europe, more so than Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google Plus, which we also touched on during this workshop. So it was really great. I had a great group of people that were engaged and eager to learn more, and especially from a social media marketer in the U.S., they really felt like they got more insight and knowledge into how it was going to help their individual company or brand from, you know, a country that's a little bit ahead of the game.
Was the audience like mostly Swedish, or was it kind of all over Europe, or was it primarily the Nordic region? Did you get people from, you know, all over the place? What was the crowd like in your workshop?
Yeah, we had, I mean, there was over 500 attendees at this conference, plus speakers and guests and sponsors. And in my workshop, I would say, you know, we had people from all over the world, but specifically in the Nordic region, so Norway and Sweden, which was great because they understood my English well and not me the other way around where I was struggling to identify what languages they were speaking. But we had the majority of people from that area or country, and then a few from the UK and other parts of Europe. So it was good to see a different mix and a breakdown of different countries because as I was teaching over those 4 hours, they actually taught me a lot about what's used, what the demographics are of those specific regions, what people adapt to, and what, you know, is most important for them as brand marketers to reach their consumers and vice versa.
So a couple things I want to know is, you know, over the course of 4 hours, you said you touched on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google Plus. Did you touch on any others like Instagram and Pinterest? And I want to look into that a little bit. But first, can you tell me a little bit about what they told you in terms of the demographic and network usage in those areas that might be different than what we're seeing in the U.S.? Like, did they talk at all about things like Snapchat? Is the push for temporal impermanence and anonymity coming out there as much as it is here? You know, kind of what are the trends that you're seeing that they told you about over in those areas?
Sure. Well, I think there's a lot to be said about the differences in social media marketing over there versus here in the U.S., but it depends by country what people are doing. So, for example, the U.K., they're definitely innovating and trying new things specifically on Facebook and Twitter. But in the Nordic region, for example, barely anybody's using Twitter, and I think it said there was 188 people in Norway on Twitter for this one specific brand, which is like a worldwide brand. But people are mostly using Facebook and engaging and responding and interacting on that platform versus Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google Plus. Some people didn't even know what Google Plus was. And then we ventured into the Pinterest world and the Instagram world and the Snapchat world very briefly, just to note that this is another marketing platform and something that's available for people to use and interact with consumers. But no one is using any of those channels, barely at all. So the focus primarily was Facebook because it is that, there's 1.32 billion people across the world, and most people within the European Union and UK areas are all using that as a marketing tool. So it's the easiest way for them to engage.
So did you get any sense that there's privacy concerns? Because I know that Europe is so much more stringent upon that, and given Facebook's recent snafu with the Messenger app and the terms of service and really almost the entire history of the company and their privacy gaffes, Did that seem like something that people were still concerned about, or does it seem like they've kind of moved past that over there? Did it even come up with people, or were they just kind of like, how do I sell more stuff with this?
I think it came up. We touched on it slightly. I mean, people are always going to be concerned about their personal privacy and how they protect their consumers. But of course, you know, at the end of the day, they're either trying to sell more products or awareness for their brand. So they want to make sure they're doing social media marketing tastefully, but also in the appropriate manner that doesn't, you know, deter people from wanting to engage or interact on their page. So it wasn't talked about enough or to the point of concern.
Okay. The last guest on the podcast was Remco Janssen, who I met at the Social Media Strategy Summit in Amsterdam. And it was funny because I talked with him a lot. I don't even know if we talked about this so much on the podcast as we did just offline, kind of, you know, getting to talking about what's happening out there. And he's a very heavy user of Snapchat, but he said that people don't really use it there in Amsterdam all that much, but that Facebook and Twitter are huge. And I actually, when I was in Amsterdam for the first time, found the real value in WhatsApp. Did people talk about that at all at the summit?
We kind of compared WhatsApp and Viber and any of those type of communication applications to Snapchat and how people are using it. And, no one in the Nordic region said that they use Snapchat, let alone found a reason to connect with marketers on it. So they didn't really understand the platform as a tool for a way to engage with brands. And WhatsApp, you know, that came up a few times because people wanted to know, you know, how it is that marketers are trying to use this and build it up as a tool to connect with people. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it didn't really seem like it was a viable marketing channel for them, and they really wanted to focus on Facebook.
Did they talk at all about, like, I mean, it sounds like they're very focused on Facebook. Were there any other ones that came up, like Vine or Tumblr or, I mean, I'm just looking at, like, the full list of apps I've gotten. Like, we use so many of them, and I just found an app today I want to talk to you about really quickly after this called Yo, and that's ridiculous.
Oh, I've heard
and
of
also,
it.
Hyperlapse just came out by Instagram, which I don't know if you've seen that yet, but it's time-lapse videos. But, I mean, it sounds like their intense focus on Facebook and a little bit of the more popular ones. It sounds like they're a little bit behind us in terms of app usage, adoption of different things. I mean, is that kind of the sense you got there, that, or is it just more that by region sometimes you just have certain things that spike, and like what's the scenario there? Is an American marketer going to be at a disadvantage there, or do you think that we'd be in an advantage given how far ahead we are with the number of things we adopt and use?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately every region is totally different, and what's acceptable or seen as, you know, really good content from a brand is different for that specific country, city, even region of the world. So I see that with Garrett Popcorn. You know, what we do in the Middle East is different than what we do in the APAC regions as is in South America or here in the United States. So I know that it really depends on what works and how people connect. And I think, you know, in Europe, actually, there's more options for a communication tool like WhatsApp to be prevalent, as that kind of has taken a back seat to all of these other social networking and marketing tools that we have here, like Snapchat and Instagram and Vine. And we did talk about some of these other channels. But to some people, you know, they're either beginners to social media or they're CEOs that are trying to learn it and adapt these strategies from the top level down and trickle it into their everyday marketing strategies. Or, you know, they might be actual social media marketers that know and love everything about what's popular in the UK or Europe, but they have no idea what's next for them because they look to the United States to figure out, you know, where those trends are and what the innovations are. So I saw a lot of really good presentations from both people in Europe and the UK and all over the rest of the world. But a lot of the strategies that were being implemented and the campaigns that were executed were replicable to what we've done here in the U.S. probably even a year or two ago. So I would say there's a shift in time and relevancy to what works now versus what works there in a couple years. But it's, you know, all trying to figure out what at the end of the day is going to be best for your specific market and region and your consumer database.
So you work with Garrett Popcorn's a global brand, right?
Correct.
And you just were moved into the title of Associate Director of Digital and Social Media, correct?
Correct.
So you should have some insight on this, or I'm hoping you do, or at least you have had privy to some ideas about this. But for global brands and brands that are dealing with perhaps a number of different countries over in Europe, do you think that it's best to have a sort of centralized authority that kind of dictates what the content strategy and everything, given that you just did a content strategy workshop, do you think it's best to have sort of a centralized approach, or do you think it's best to bring people in at each of the local levels to kind of fit the culture and social norms and etiquette of those different locations?
I think specifically by country, it would be great to have someone on the ground managing and executing in that either specific cultural dialect, language, or even just the nuances that, somebody here headquartered in the U.S. wouldn't be able to manage on the ground in other regions. So it's definitely important to have, a customized strategy for each individual region as well as overall global perspective, brand and strategy. And it would be great for, brands to have managers or even directors on the ground in all of these locations that they serve. And like I said, doppelganger Nico, he heads up Sony UK and all their community engagement projects, as well as their advocacy program, where they have 45 super fans from all over Europe that blog and create content on their community channel. And they get together twice a year and pay for all of them to come together. I think they're going to Warsaw in a few weeks to sit there and strategize and think of what's next and what they can do and how they can create more content to engage people and get them to be brand advocates like these 45 super users. So, Sony's based in Japan, but of course have these regional directors that handle specific areas and what works, what's trendy, what's important for those consumers.
So answer me realistically. Because he looks like me and acts like me, do you think that he could get me in touch with the division of Sony that handles Spider-Man so that I can have some sort of a hand in making sure that they are a little bit more aggressive in their schedule of when they release the Sinister Six and Spider-Man 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10?
Well, he speaks Japanese, so yeah, I'm sure he could help.
He speaks Japanese? Oh, he's so cool. He's totally like my doppelganger.
Yeah, shout out to Tweety2B on Twitter.
Seriously, I'm going to have to tell Tweety2B that we need to hang out and we need to go around and, pull the old switcheroo with people, freak them out or something. Anyway, that's besides the point. So, Yo, have you heard of it?
I have.
A friend of mine told me about it today. I was fascinated by the concept. All the app does is say Yo. It's like a notification. Yo, that's it. It's the whole thing the app does.
I've heard of it, and I don't understand it, but I didn't understand Snapchat at first from a marketing perspective. So I'd love to see the evolution of where this goes and if it's even relevant or if it's just something that's, a cool fad that happens like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Can I be honest? One, I had a great Ice Bucket Challenge video.
You sure did.
That's an aside. I still don't get Snapchat. I still don't see the appeal. I think it's kind of dumb. I'm not going to lie. And maybe one day I'll get it. And people say that they don't get Twitter and they don't like Twitter and they're wrong. But I get that people say it and everybody has their preferences. But I really don't get it. I don't understand the purpose of the message disappearing, especially if it's not actually disappearing. So I just still don't understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a constant equation for marketers to figure out. Right now, you have your Taco Bells and you have your New York Giants and a couple different companies and brands and organizations that are trying to maximize the use of how they get into the, mobile mobile landscape of all of their users' hands. So I don't know. There's a lot of different things that you can use it for. I think people are still struggling to identify what the maximum value is. But there have been a lot of case studies out there that are super interesting on what works for their brand. I know that Grubhub, for example, the food delivery service, has done a really good job on Snapchat. And I would love to continue to see how it becomes relevant, but it also depends on your demographic. We're talking about an app here that is prone to be used by millennials or tech-savvy individuals that like using fast message application tools. But when you think about it, if you have an iPhone, you can use iMessage. If you have, if you still use a BlackBerry, you have BBM, which no longer really exists. But, you can use WhatsApp. You can do the same thing on multiple different applications and also apps that are out there today, but Snapchat is kind of aggregating it all into one space and evolving and changing every single day. You know, what started as like a 6 to 10 second video that you shared with just friends in your specific contacts now becomes, oh, you can chat. Oh, you can send them, you know, videos, and you can send them pictures with images on them or different texts and whatnot. So I think there really is going to be a shift in how social media marketers engage with their fans. And as you know, in the U.S., a lot of those marketers are shying away from Facebook because while the mass millions, billions are on there, it's not necessarily prevalent for their community, or they are trying to weed through the waters of it, and yet they have to pay so much to have their content seen that they'd rather go to Google Plus or Instagram or another channel where they can find that really niche community that speaks to their demographic of consumers.
Yeah. If you remember in Chicago, I actually interviewed the person from Grubhub.
Casey.
Yeah. She was cool. She was telling me all about, and it was actually really interesting the way that they were doing it. But she was also telling me about some of the challenges, because the app isn't exactly made for businesses. It's made for people. So there's a lot of, you know, you'd have to select each person that you're going to send it to. And if you have thousands of contacts, that's kind of a pain in the ass. So, I don't know. I guess it'll remain to be seen what happens with Snapchat. I, for one, think that the biggest foreshadowing that it will fail is that the CEO chose not to take a $6 billion offer, I think it was, from Facebook. I think that that is like – I think that is foreshadowing that it will fail. I don't know. I could be
wrong. Well, I think they're waiting for the bigger and better thing to come, but I'm afraid that in this day and age, besides Google, there's nothing bigger and better than Facebook. So who's going to dominate that world and actually see it as a viable product for them to either own or build into a product that they already have? Yeah. Maybe it is WhatsApp and we're missing the
mark. Or maybe
the mark.
Facebook will make them a bigger offer. Who the hell knows?
Right. Or as you said, it could become completely irrelevant.
Yeah, I don't know. I just And I'm not confident for them. I'm really bullish on Pinterest and Instagram, but not so much on the Snapchat. So we're both going to be in San Fran in a little less than a month. What are you talking about while you're there?
So I'm actually leading a few different sessions. One is on Twitter engagement. One is on social media strategy. And then I'm also leading a couple video interviews and emceeing part of the event. So it should be.
God damn, Ellie. They only gave me one workshop. I thought they liked me.
Oh, you got off easy.
Well, I am going to be there for a week.
Yeah.
A lot of work being out there for a workshop.
Yeah, poor you.
Yeah. So wait, what? So you're doing like five things again? What are the, so a workshop?
I'd have to go back and see where all of my sessions are at. But yeah, I'm doing a workshop on Twitter engagement, on social media. No, I'm sorry. I'm speaking on Twitter engagement. I'm doing a workshop on social media strategy. And then I'm also doing some video interviews for them. And that might be it.
Rocking.
Yeah.
Very cool. What about Boston? What are you going to be doing there?
Boston, kind of same track where I'm helping out with some interviews and some assistance with the event, but on behalf of Garrett Popcorn, of course. And I'm leading a fireside chat on the future of social media marketing. So that should be really interesting. It's at the end of the day, I think the second to last day of the conference. So a cool little way to engage people and have them, you know, change up, you know, that typical conference setting where you sit there for 9 hours listening to speaker after speaker and you get so bored. And even though it's interesting topics, you're like, I can't give this person the time of day. And you know how that is because, I mean, our attention span probably lasts for 20 minutes. And if you haven't sold us in 20 minutes, then we start doing work or thinking of other things that we can make our presentations even better. I'm intrigued to see the differences. And I think there's like something to be said about, you know, the West Coast marketers that come in and even the East Coast marketers, because it's entirely different demographic. Although this conference, Social Media Strategy Summit, is targeted towards those C-suite executives. I think we'll get some interesting companies. Both are smaller conferences than Chicago and Las Vegas, but still equally as important. And we've met some amazing people at those conferences, so you never know how it's going to help your business or your personal brand grow.
Yeah. Well, did you notice, So at Chicago, Yumi and Julian had gotten together and talked a little bit about what they should be doing from a marketing perspective. And I don't know if any of us actually brought that up to them, but the conference itself has actually been doing a lot more marketing. There were a couple blog posts they featured me in. I know that they're a little bit more active on their Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of good stuff. So something that we said must have passed through time and space to them.
I agree.
It's pretty rad. So I don't really know much about what you do at Garrett Popcorn outside of the fact that I saw you on a TV interview, cause you're famous. What are you doing for Garrett Popcorn? What are some of your objectives and how are you going about, executing that for a global brand? Is it just you? Is it, do you have a big team? Do you have a small team? You know, what do you do on a day to day? And can you send me some popcorn?
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's not just any popcorn. It's Garrett popcorn. So this is, I'm not kidding. We have world famous Garrett popcorn. It's been handcrafted each and every day throughout the day in our old fashioned copper kettle since 1949. So next month marks our 65th anniversary month. And I'll tell you, for all of my life living in Chicago, Garrett popcorn has been one of the most iconic foods.
No, you're frozen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you froze. Hold on.
Okay.
Where is my video? All right, I'm back. I don't see your face, though.
Ta-da!
Hooray! Okay, so you were saying, since you were a kid, iconic brand, go.
Okay, so Garrett Popcorn is an iconic Chicago tradition that I've been fortunate enough to celebrate my entire life. It was always a special treat, and as we say here, everybody has their own Garrett Popcorn story. I've talked to people all over the world, and even at this Bring Dialogue conference in Sweden that I was just at, where people have their own unique, nostalgic story to share about our brand, which I think is unlike any other brand in all of the world. I mean, at the end of the day, it's popcorn, but we have world famous popcorn. So our signature Garrett mix, which is caramel crisp and cheese corn, is to die for. And
dangerously tasty.
It is dangerously tasty. I try not to eat it every single day. That's a problem. A good problem to have, though. And you know, for us in the digital department, so I lead all of the digital initiatives, and I'm doing everything from website services to SEO to PPC, email marketing, affiliate marketing, and social media. And obviously, as you know, and all of your fans out there can realize now, social media is a big passion of mine. So I continue to push that and push the envelope a little bit for us in the social landscape. We see ourselves we see that we don't have any competition in the popcorn industry and in retail or in the gourmet foods, because we are like no other. It's truly a unique brand with a unique opportunity, and the brand speaks for itself. We wouldn't be here after 65 years if it weren't for our customers and their passion and loyalty and love for our products. So working here is a dream come true. It's an amazing brand. We have an amazing team. And, you know, we every single day is different because we get different stories. We talk to different consumers. And the brand is, we say, popcorn is happy food. So Garrett Popcorn is especially delightful and a treat. And everybody that we talk to is super excited about either tasting it for the first time or going and standing in line at our shops, what we call our lines of historic proportions, or sharing their, you know, experience with people online and, you know, through a shipment for the holidays or their corporate gifts or whatnot. So it really is a unique brand and a delight to work for, and something that for me becomes really fun because every day is different. And we're working through with a very small digital team here, me and one other person, and we're continuing to grow and expand. And my role here has really been to take us from what was, you know, a comfortable level in social media and really push the envelope and get us to do more innovative campaigns and initiatives and just overall kind of cross-channel marketing. So we're tying everything together into one piece instead of doing, you know, 8 separate initiatives that don't play into the online and marketing space.
So for all of those out there that are listening and immediately think to themselves like, wow, this chick really loves popcorn. Ellie and I talked before she took this role, and you said almost the exact same things. So this isn't like PR coaching or anything like that. Like, the funny part is you've been talking about this brand like that, like, since before you decided to take the position. So for those out there, just know, like, Ellie's not, like, jumping on here to, like, try and sell you on the popcorn. Like, she really is that stoked.
Oh, yeah. I don't need to, because, like I said, our fans sell the product for us, and I am a fan before I am an employee. So I just... You know, I was speaking at DigiDay in July out in Park City, Utah, and I did a case study on our digital marketing and how we've evolved and, you know, gone from one shop in Chicago in 1949 to 11 shops plus shops in New York, Las Vegas, and two other markets that are coming out this year and beyond. And they, you know, all the feedback that I got was like, wow, this woman really knows her stuff and is, you know, Garrett Popcorn is so lucky to have her as a brand advocate. She truly is passionate about the brand, and that speaks wonders for a company that, you know, most people know, but if they don't, now they know who it is and they're really excited to try it.
I just figured it out. When we first met and started doing the conference circuit together, you were eDigital and the other company that you were with as well. Forget the name of it. But anyway, and then you started working for Garrett Popcorn, and now you're doing like three times as many things at everything. It's because you're bringing popcorn to everything, isn't it? You are bribing the conference organizers with the delicious Chicago blend. That is not fair, but I agree with it. Did you bring popcorn to Sweden?
Unfortunately, I did not. That was logistically a little bit harder as I had to fly through London and then go to Oslo and then drive 2 hours. But I'm hoping that next year we could bring our handcrafted happiness over there, because we are going to be doing some more on-site taste testing with Social Media Strategy Summit. So you and all the other attendees and speakers will be fortunate enough to try our Garrett mix. You know, I'm not bribing them, but of course it's a treat when you get Ellie plus Garrett popcorn. So it's not just any popcorn, it's Garrett popcorn. Everybody loves it, and if they haven't had it, they're going to love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, man, I just forgot what I was going to ask you because you're just cracking me up with that. I just completely forgot because you're like so totally all about it. I remember what it is now.
Okay.
I was going to ask, you said that like some of the stuff you're doing is trying to push the envelope with what you're doing in the social media marketing capacity, you and a small team. I'm curious, you know, we've talked a little bit about like how I look at social media with the five activities, you know, listening, content, engagement, promotion, and measurement. And I'm curious if you could comment a little bit on what you're doing in your role to use each of those different activities, listening, content, engagement, promotion, and measurement.
Well, we do a conglomeration of all of those. So, of course, as it is very important to listen to your fans and understand their needs and wants and, you know, actual engagement, we look at a lot of different channels. We listen on a lot of different platforms, and we're always looking for opportunistic posts or ways that we can engage in a more creative way. From a content perspective, you know, we're trying to go above and beyond just normal product posts or, you know, what'd you do this weekend type of, you know, typical engaging posts that have nothing to do with the brand. And we're installing happiness and what we call our handcrafted happiness and a few of our other taglines like love is messy and cheesy fingers and a Chicago tradition into everything that we do. And with our 65th anniversary coming up next month, we have some really cool campaigns and initiatives that we've never really tested out before. So we're looking forward to see, and of course, using the right measurement and analytics tools, how we can track the success of those online campaigns into actual conversions into, you know, people that are talking and sharing and eating Garrett popcorn.
So when you're doing most of your social media marketing, are you looking for awareness metrics and that sort of thing? Are you trying to drive people to download a coupon or something that shows that they can go in and buy it where you can track it that way? Do they order direct from the website? What sort of things are you looking to measure?
Well, we measure a lot of different things, and I think the shift here has really been a focus on metrics and analytics. So not just posting to just to post and add to the noise and be out there on social like everybody else's, but actually add value to how we engage with our customers. So have actually just launched a brand new website as of Wednesday at GarrettPopcorn.com, which is a beautiful new e-commerce site on Magento's platform. And it definitely was a hefty undertaking, but well worth it because it's turned out beautifully and is a lot more more smoother and user-friendly. So that was the point of our website initiative, but also for our online marketing in general. We really want it to be a seamless experience from our shops to online, to our social media engagement, for users to feel like they're part of the Garrett Popcorn family, and they can also, you know, send us their woes or their trials and tribulations, as well as their, you know, really happiest and highest moments in life, because we have people that live for this brand, and maybe they get it once a year or every time they fly to Japan or whatever it might be, but those true Garrett Popcorn stories are what help drive the brand, as I mentioned before. And, you know, we're building our awareness and trying to get as much brand loyalty from organically from our users, as well as strategically from, you know, the different initiatives and campaigns that we do.
Are you using any sort of cool tools? I mean, are you using something like Sprout Social or Hootsuite? Are you using IBM tools? Are you using, like, kind of what degree are you using social tools to get your work done?
Well, we are actually using Hootsuite Pro, and it's a fantastic tool. I've been using it for about 7 years now, and I love the engagement and monitoring, listening aspect of it. And they also have an analytics tool, as well as a URL tracking tool that allows for us to see across the web which people are using what or clicking on what links that we have. So that's been extremely helpful. We're also using a lot of the native insights and analytics tools from Facebook to Twitter's new analytics.twitter.com that they just launched open to everybody, to Pinterest Analytics, which is brand new, Google Analytics and Google Plus conversions, and YouTube.
Rockin'.
Yeah.
So do you only now write and create content on behalf of Garrett, or do you still do kind of your own thought leadership thing on the side? Like, are you keeping up a blog or maintaining any of your own kind of branded thought pieces?
Yeah, well, I mean, I still represent my own personal brand at elliedeutsch.com. So I think speaking at a lot of engagements and doing guest posts and blogs are important for me to, you know, stay relevant in the social media industry, but also let people know that, you know, I'm part of Garrett Popcorn, and, you know, that's what we're bringing to the table with all of our knowledge and resources here. And I encourage all of our, you know, my colleagues and teammates and employees to also be social and engage and share our content. So our executive vice president and chief branding officer has just recently got into retweeting and tweeting every single thing that we do. And, you know, we're sitting down next week actually to have like a social media one-on-one training session so that he can share more of our insights and our great posts that we have and different types of initiatives or campaign, and understand the social media landscape in a larger breadth. So for us, you know, it's me representing the brand, but also, you know, keeping my own name, as I was a consultant before this, and speaking and sharing kind of the social media knowledge as part of Social Media Club, for anybody that's part of the international nonprofit organization like Jeff and I are. I'm on the executive board for the Chicago chapter, and, you know, the tagline is, if you get it, share it. So at the end of the day, it's all about sharing the love and spreading the knowledge of social media as a marketing tool, but also as a connectivity. I wouldn't have met Jeff if it wasn't for social media, and we wouldn't have stayed connected and, you know, built the relationship that we have. If social media didn't exist, I'd never talk
that
to you again.
That's true. You would never talk to me again if there wasn't social media?
God, never.
I would never call you.
I'm just kidding.
Sad.
Oh, we'd
tears.
Have to revert to old dial telephones.
I know, right?
God
I would
forbid.
Send you a letter in the mail being like, it is unacceptable that I have not seen you since last conference.
And then
of
four
the
months
thing
later,
that doesn't
I
exist. Because if there was no social media, we wouldn't have met at the conference. Well, Ellie, you are, as always, super duper fabulous. And thank you for coming onto the show and telling us about what you're doing and where you're going and sort of things you're working on. Oh, one last question, though, before I let you go. Actually, I'm going to have two last questions, but the last one's going to be really short. This one is more, what are you, like, excited about, and where do you see yourself going in your career? I mean, obviously, your goal right now is to take Garrett Popcorn higher and higher to the highest heights it can go. But at some point, do you see yourself either growing out of this particular role, obviously, in the company and taking on a larger role in the marketing function? Or do you see potentially at some point that there's going to be something else that you're really excited about getting involved in?
I think the future is unknown, and as we've seen with social media, it evolves every single day and is forever changing, so it's hard to identify what's next. And I'm kind of that roll by the roll by the punches and the fly by the seat of your pants mentality, or philosophy, I should say. So I'd love to be here and help Garrett Popcorn grow to exponential heights, as well as be the next, you know, brand that everybody looks to for the new tweet per second record, or the crazy case study that worked out so well, or whatever it might be. Because, like I said, we have an amazing, unique brand here at Garrett Popcorn, and it's got such an extensive viral nature in and of itself, because the product is high quality and fresh ingredients that are made every single day, and people just love the brand and what we make. So that makes my job really easy, and I would hope that it continues to, you know, be a challenging role, but something that we can continue to work towards the future and the betterment of our community and our handcrafted happiness that we share. So we'll see. You know, Garrett Popcorn's a great place to be.
Cool. Okay, last question is the short one, though, and that is, where can people go to be social with you and learn more about you and connect with you and potentially just maybe one day get themselves on a video chat with you or meet you in person to see that smile in person?
Oh, well, I'm on Twitter at Ellie Deutsch, LinkedIn.com/in/Ellie Deutsch. And you can, of course, those are the easiest ways to reach me, but email me EllieDeutsch@gmail.com or visit my website, EllieDeutsch.com. Here's a hint. If you just Google Ellie Deutsch, I'm one of the only, fortunately. And also you can go to EllieDeutsch.com or find me in any way. It's easy to stalk me. I'm a very transparent, open person. So hit me up. I'd love to get inquiries or new podcasts or ways that I can meet new people, because that's, like I said, what social media is all about.
Cool. Well, I'm going to put all that stuff in the show notes too, because they don't even know how to spell Ellie or Deutsch. So it's going to be really easy to put it in the show notes. So thank you for coming by. I can't wait to see you in San Fran and give you a hug. And again, at Boston, you're such a cool chick, and I look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Thanks, Jeff. And thanks everybody for having me on the show today.
Cool, cool. Later, everybody. And for those of you listening, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Have a good day. Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Conversations. Be sure to go over to iTunes or Stitcher and give us a rating. Tell us what you love about the show, what you hate about the show. And we hope you come back for our next episode. Take care.